Welcome back. My guest, photographer and writer Richard Barron, who, although he's living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, oh, you're still an El Pasoan?
Yes,
come
I am.
On, I know.
I'm afraid so.
Yes. Before the break, we were talking about how you selected the artists. You have a book-length collection of profile pieces on El Paso artists that you have written very well, I might add. And your selection process, what is it that makes someone jump out at you or that you tend to stay away from?
Well, like I said, people who told their story well and had stuff to say. But what I really sort of prefer, and I hope I don't offend anybody, all the people I interviewed, but I kind of preferred people who hadn't really made it big, who were struggling with the arts. You know, I found that they were kind of more passionate about their art. They did their art despite success. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that commitment and passion in artists, that they're dedicated to doing something that doesn't necessarily lead to any monetary gain or even any prestige. You know, they suffer alone to express themselves, but they have that need, and I like that. And sometimes when artists get too successful or become successful, I'll say, I don't know that anybody's too successful.
So. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, no, when there's enough money piling up that the family becomes a problem.
Right, this is, right. Well, I don't think that's a problem in El Paso. But they've got their rap down. They've yes. got their story down. They've already written grants about who they are, and they've written bios and stuff. And they're just sort of repeating
yeah.
what they've already written. And
which is understandable.
And they know their artist statements and yeah. kind of – it's not necessarily less successful or lesser artists, but people who are driven more by the passion and really weren't very professional as artists necessarily. Although I mean, some of the people I interviewed, I had a really good interview with Art Lewis, and you know he supported himself playing the saxophone all his life. So
yeah, well, it depends on how you define success,
right?
For
right.
an artist, just. You have to have a lot of gray area in there in order
right.
for it not to make you crazy, too crazy to do what you do. But it sounds like you went for the people who did their art because they couldn't not do it.
Exactly.
It was a
exactly.
compelling drive.
Right.
And actually, when we connected on Facebook again, I had begun looking at your photography with fresh eyes and really seeing it for the first time, I must confess. And you said you were going to be in El Paso. You asked if you could take my portrait. Which you did, and that made me look more closely at your other portraiture work, but also at the way you think and what you see and what you call for in your subjects. Talk to me about that.
Actually, my portrait work is sort of diversionary work. I like taking portraits a lot, but I usually am taking portraits when I don't know what else to do. Generally, I get an idea for a project, and mm-hmm. I like to – and I work on that project passionately for 6 months, 2 years, you know, however long until it poops out or, you know, I feel I've done it. And then I go for this period where I kind of don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start taking portraits and because there's people around and I know people. And it's just an available subject that I like to do. But it's not what I really consider my main interest in photography.
But you took another series of portraits recently of unmarked graves.
Right.
Tell me how that started and what happened, because those are portraits.
Well, they're kind of portraits. They're kind of landscapes. They're sort of, you know, in a way I sort of see them as aerial landscapes, like from 6 feet up in the air, down on the ground. But I drive back and forth between El Paso and Santa Fe a lot. There's a really good hamburger joint in San Antonio, New Mexico, you know. So I stop there often and get a burger. It's almost exactly
the
halfway.
The Owl Burger, by any chance?
Yeah, yes.
How did
Owl.
I know, yes.
Yeah.
They're famous for their cheeseburgers.
And one block away, there's a cemetery. And I just thought, I'll go check out the cemetery. And I went in there and I took a few pictures and a few weeks later, I was looking at one of the pictures, and it was just a circle of rocks on the ground. And there was no tombstone. There was no name involved. There was nothing personal, nothing religious, nothing cultural. You had no idea who was buried there. There was just somebody got buried, and somebody else built a little monument to them with this little circle of rocks. And I got curious about. I was thinking about that. I was wondering if that's something that happened often. So I looked on Google And I saw there was an old cemetery outside of Cerrillos, New Mexico, which is just a little south of Santa Fe. And I went down there, and there were like four or five of those kind of graves, just piles of rocks and circles and rectangles, little pyramids of rocks, mm-hmm. And I just found that kind of fascinating that I was taking these pictures of essentially rocks on the grounds, surrounded by sticks and weeds and stuff like that. But it represented somebody's whole life, some anonymous person's whole life. And that fit into like the kind of photography I like to do. I like to take pictures of things that are more significant than what they look like. And when you see them, there really isn't much information, but they're actually something kind of very important. The years before, when I was in New York, I did a series that I called Corporate Headquarters and Other New York Landmarks. Mm-hmm. And the way it started is I was walking past the World Trade Center, the old World Trade Center, and, went up 110 stories or something like that. And I was, like, right next to it. I just looked over, and I took a picture just kind of straight on with a 50-millimeter lens, like, from 10 feet away, and just kind of straight on with the building. And all it was a wall. And I went home and I printed it, and I titled it The World Trade Center, and which went up 110 stories, but all you could see was this wall. But
it's perspective.
It was the World Trade Center, and it was a human perspective. It's like when you walk past the World Trade Center, that's what you saw if you didn't look up. So I started doing that on all these other landmarks and famous corporate headquarters. And
I want to insert here that you have exhibited extensively. Anybody that thinks that you have a stockpile of pictures that nobody's ever cared about is utterly wrong. You've exhibited a great deal in New York. Of course, you were exhibiting here in El Paso while you were here. San Francisco, Miami, Dallas, San Antonio, London, Copenhagen, Rio de Janeiro, Sydney, Australia, you've been around.
Those were like maybe, one picture in a group show or something.
Okay.
There were places. In San Francisco, I had a gallery for a while, and I exhibited there a lot.
Yeah.
But a bunch of those places, I had one picture in a big group show or something.
Well,
so,
but it's, yes. So, but it's thanks on for my the modesty, but a picture's a picture.
And then it's on my resume.
That's right. It should be.
Yeah.
That counts for a lot, to have one photo in a certain collection of stuff. Depending on the caliber of the collection, that is a big deal. But it's interesting hearing you talk about your work because it's like you do capture that instant, that kind of one of the Earth's micro expressions, this little something that might be overlooked. And this is what I experienced when you took my portrait, for example. I saw the photograph that you selected of me, and I was immediately uncomfortable with it.
Good.
Yes, exactly. So I thought it very thoughtful of you that you expressed some concern about whether or not I liked it. And I was able to say that, frankly, I can't say that I like it. It made me uneasy because it's that one of those expressions that you hope people don't pick up on while you're on your way to another expression.
Right.
So, but you do that with everything. And I do see those graves as an expression of something really ephemeral that's lost out in the desert until someone stops and catches it and has the gall then to name a piece of wall the World Trade Center because that's all we can see. That's what artists really do. And I would not presume to – I gave you permission to take the photo, so by darn, it's yours, and I won't touch it. And now people are going to be running to your website, which is richardbaron.com
it's baronrichard.com.
Baronrichard.com. Or on Facebook where you can see all of your wonderful work. But I looked at the other people's portraits and thought, I wonder if they feel the same way, and I would not be surprised if they do. So that is part of your art that you catch – the ephemeral. And what does that say about you?
I have no idea.
I
don't know what it says about me.
Well, what do you think people think of you?
Well, when I do the portraits, I don't want to do a public relations portrait. I don't want a picture of somebody smiling at the camera.
No, you gave me very strict orders. Do not smile.
I mean, this is not me showing a picture of like look at me. I'm a nice person.
I
have a nice smile.
The promo shot.
I wanted to take a picture of you when you're not presenting yourself.
Not on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's what I look for when I do the portraits. And what does it say about me? I don't know, that I'm nosy, rude?
No. I don't know what it says. I think you have a certain moxie about you. There's no doubt about that. Uh-huh. And I think that's part of what has enriched your life and part of what has brought you a lot of suffering and attention that you have perhaps struggled with.
Yeah. Well, as much as anybody, I suppose, I hope.
Yeah. But, I mean, you've paid a price for your art, as we all do, in your writing and your work.
It hasn't been highly financially rewarding to me, and I've spent a great deal of time on it. It probably cost me a couple relationships. Girlfriend would say, honey, aren't you ever coming out of the dark room? And I'd say, just a few minutes more. And
I would say any relationship that wants you to choose is already in trouble.
Well, I think that's a common problem for artists.
Absolutely, because of the obsession factor.
You have to do something to make a living, and you do your art and a relationship and then your laundry and stuff, and just a lot
details,
of stuff.
And you have to eat, and then you have to sleep.
Well, but the big three are like making a living, doing your art, and having a relationship. And I found like all three of those are hard to do. You can pull off two of them.
Yeah. Two at a time, Max.
Right.
Oh, have you thought about publishing your artist profiles in book form or about future exhibitions here in El Paso of your portraiture or your other photography?
Well, I did at one time really want to put together a book of the portraits. I mean, of the profile. With the portraits, because they were based on a lot of them were based on the profiles. They accompanied the profiles.
Yes.
But in 2003, I had a fire, and I lost – and those were all digital pictures. And I lost like the last 4 or 5 years of digital pictures, and my computer burned up.
And, oh, no.
And so all my early profiles – I lost a whole bunch of the portraits then. And without the portraits – the portraits were part of the profiles, the photograph along with the written profile. And I felt I needed to reshoot some of those people, and meanwhile, one died, one refused to let me take their picture again. And
no, you must have caught them in a bad moment. Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. And also, it's limited. They were all El Paso artists, and part of the interviews were always about like their feelings about El Paso and what it was like to be an artist in El Paso, which is not the easiest place to be an artist. And so I felt it had a limited audience. And I felt that I don't know. I stopped working on them pretty much when I left El Paso seven years ago. I started just doing the profiles periodically, just every now and then when I'd come down, I might interview somebody and work on it. And I was working on other stuff. I was working on the grave pictures and a couple other projects when I first got to New Mexico. So, no, I haven't really thought about making a book out of that. If somebody else wanted to, I'll hand them all the material.
Well, just make sure you have a backup, a hard drive backup, hard drive at a different location. A thought.
That was the problem with a different location. I did back up to my laptop, which was sitting right next to my desktop. And they both burned up. Yeah.
Oh, well, real quickly in our final minute or so here, what do you see happening in El Paso now, El Paso's art scene?
Well, it doesn't really, from what I can see, and I'm talking about the visual arts. I don't know what's going on in music and so forth. But I'd say in the visual arts, it's not nearly as vibrant as it was in the late 80s and 90s. I don't see much of a focus, but maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. I don't know what a lot of young kids, I don't know the art scene like I did. I know the old artists, the people my age, but I don't know the young artists. So maybe there's something going on, but generally there's essentially no real galleries. And
yes, the economy has taken its toll.
Right.
But the pop-up
stuff. There's a pop-up. I think the public arts that the city's doing, I think that's making the city look a lot better. This, it's kind of decorative stuff. It's not deep art, but the city's looking artier.
It creates that dialogue, keeps it moving.
Right.
Well, whatever is going on here and whatever either the sine wave that the arts always follow socially you are one of the factors that planted many seeds here and created a lot of momentum to get things moving, and I'm glad that you bring your perspective back to us periodically. My guest today has been photographer and writer and El Pasoan at heart, Richard Barron, who lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but fortunately visits our area very often. I want to thank you so much for coming in today. To find out more, you can go to BarronRichard.com or check him out on Facebook and take a look at his wonderful work. Richard, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me, Monica.